In the Messianic movement, there's lots of people that God has brought here because he can speak to them. Because they pay attention. Because they're willing to say yes. And so I'm expecting a release of gifts. We're moving into a different dimension. I can almost start singing with the fifth dimension. Let the sunshine in. Let the sunshine in. I want you to know something. For the last year, there's been a revival going on in all places, California, right? Like the most weirdo place there is. God has had Mario Murillo having tent meetings and going all around the state of California where hundreds of people give their heart to the Lord and miracles and in California, all right? So the Lord kind of picked the hardest place and say, ain't nothing to me. We're going to have a revival anyway. So then he went to New York. Well, okay, from a rock to a hard place. And he started a revival there too. Guess what the third place he was sent to? At the last minute, he was sent to Naples, Florida. Naples is on the west coast, the last post before Miami. You have to take Alligator Alley from that point on and to go. And, and there's nothing in Alligator Alley except alligators. So this is the last post. And they didn't have much time to advertise. So a couple of churches that he knew said they would help. So last week, they went there. Okay, a couple things happened. So many people came that the fire marshal was upset. Really upset. And it's too many people. What do you want to do? Turn them away? And it's semi-outside venue, and it was overrun with people. When he finished preaching, he said, I preach really hard. He said, if you would like to receive Yeshua as your Savior, come up front. You know how many people went up? Between 350 and 500. Yes. 350 to 500 people came up to be prayed for by this unassuming half-breed. I'm joking because he's part Hispanic like I am, right? No, I'm full Hispanic. I'm at least part Hispanic. But she doesn't claim the part. She claims the full Hispanic. What did the people, they came and they didn't have enough people to pray with them. There weren't enough people. Had no idea this was going to happen. And so everybody's scrambling, and people who knew the Lord became coaches for people to receive the Lord. And I want you to know something. Don't say it's, years before the harvest come, Yeshua said. Lift up your eyes and look and see that the harvest is ready. I've been saying, Lord, what's wrong with Gainesville? What's wrong with Florida? Okay? The southern part of the state just got a spark. Well, how about us? We get a spark here. And let the fire fall. Let the fire of God fall in this area. There are good things happening. We just don't see them. There are good things happening. And it's amazing when a bunch of truckers can bring the Canadian government to its knees, more or less. And it's spreading to Australia. And it's spreading to other places. There's a thing that there may be some truckers at the Super Bowl. And so I read in the headlines this morning that the Department of Homeland Security had called all these troops and whatever, okay, to deter this, okay? I don't think that they can stop the Lord. And the reason the truckers got together is to get rid of the mandates. Stop it. Complete countries have said, no, 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 no more. Complete countries. Of course, countries are saying that. Even Israel is reducing that. But in our illustrious White House, our president says, we're going to have more masks. Okay. Maybe someday he'll wake up to the fact that the mask is killing him because it restricts the oxygen and he needs it. He needs it. Okay, now I'll preach. I shared to start with today that I was looking for what to speak about. I've been asking the Lord of late, what are you interested in? And so on. And just peradventure, I typed the word Tetzaveh, name of today's parasha, in my directory that has messages since 1994. And I got zero hits. I said, well, there's got to be a problem somewhere. So I did it again. Then I went to another computer that has the same stuff that I went to the other one. All our computers said. Now if I went to the rest of the disk, it found occurrences. All the occurrences were in bulletins. So I've been doing bulletins since the 90s, and we still do it. As a matter of fact, you may think I'm really silly to make these bulletins because you can see them on the web. And why do you publish them? Because that's the basis. The bulletins was the basis by which we convinced the state of Florida that we were a legit congregation that have a history of being a congregation. And I showed them 25 years of bulletins. They gave us tax-exempt status. And it's almost like a legal document. Those of you that knew that were at FCN, and Pastor Dave was adamant about publishing the bulletin because he understands the legality of what's involved. I still publish it, whether you read it or not. We throw them away, still publish them. They're in our archives, and they stay there. Only there. I said, wow, I've never spoken on Tetzaveh. So I went and read it again and said, well, I know what it's about. It's about this and about the other. And I read it again, and as soon as I read the first couple of verses, inspiration came. Inspiration came. Oh, so would you like to, let's read those verses where inspiration came? Let's do that. It says, verse 20. Also, you are to command B'nai Israel. That's the word Tetzaveh. Command. Okay, it's not a command. It's like in the army. Hey! Right! That kind of thing. That's what that word, Tetzaveh. It's a command. You are to command the children of Israel. What are they to be commanded about? They are to bring you pure olive oil, beaten for the light. The light he's speaking about is the menorah. To cause the lamb to burn continually. What was that? To cause the lamb to burn continually. In the tent of meeting, which is the equivalent of what's going to be the temple, the abiding place of Adonai, in his house in the desert, the tent of meeting, the Mishkan, outside the curtain, which is before the testimony is the Ark of the Covenant, And it was covered by a curtain. Aaron and his sons will set it in order. That's the menorah. To burn everything from morning to morning, from evening to morning, and then to evening again, before Adonai. Catch this. It will be a statute forever throughout your generations on behalf of Bnei Israel. I must say, what? You know what that means? That means that you and I are supposed to burn forever. That means that we need to trim our lamp. And if we're the lamp, it's not just for a season. It's not for the morning to the evening or the evening to the morning. It's 24/7. Now, who's supposed to bring the oil? The priests? Who's supposed to make sure the oil is at its optimum level? The priest? Moses? Is that part of what they had to do? Read again. You, Bnei Israel, are commanded that you are to bring pure olive oil beaten for the light. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, we know what it meant over there. I think it has a lot to do with us over here. In Parashat Terumah, last week, Moses was told to speak to the children of Israel. Very important. The words are important. And that they would voluntarily bring a terumah, a voluntary offering from their compelling hearts. That was last week's message. So when he came to giving away the good stuff, the gold, you know that, I'm compelling. If you have a compelling heart to do that, bring it. Okay? We remember that. For the construction of the tabernacle, including the menorah, which was detailed in that parashat. Now here we come to Tetzaveh. The Lord changes tone here. He's no longer voluntary. It's no longer a suggestion. The Hebrew word is not a suggestion. The Hebrew word is a command. This is no longer voluntary, but is now obligatory. The problem, though, with all of us is that keeping the menorah lit, that is now constructed. Now, let me give you some context. Last week, they collected gold. This week, Bezalel and Moses have constructed the menorah, which the Lord told Moses, you make sure that you build it according to the pattern that I showed you on the mountain. In other words, don't get carried away here. Do it my way. Because everything is my way. Because it's always going to be my way. Because even if you say no, it's going to be my way. Because there is only one way, and that one way is God's way. Okay? There's no in between. We like to play around like he's going to change his mind. He doesn't change his mind. The menorah is now made, but now it needs to be lit. Now it needs to work. You've built the menorah, and then you light the menorah, the seven-branch candlestick, which is now constructed. And the instruction is that it is to burn continually before the ark of the Lord. Where? In the tabernacle. Where? In front of the curtain. Where? In front of the most holy place. No. In the most holy place, in front of the Holy of Holies. Did you get that? The menorah is in the most holy place. It's out of gold. It was the gold that all of us had. Our family members had it. And they got it from the Egyptians. Mostly. Some may have had some. And when it came time, We started giving it to the Lord. And when the Lord had enough, he told Moses, tell them to stop. Imagine that. The preacher comes in and says, stop giving because we got too much. It's that miracle's not happened in my lifetime. Okay? This light had to burn continuously. That means it requires a daily supply of oil. Every day. They had already brought the pure olive oil that needed to be lit, but was it enough to maintain it? Let me say that again. They had already provided the material, the gold. It's ready and it's been lit. The question becomes, is there enough to maintain it? Would human nature allow the people to step up the plate and make a voluntary commitment to supply that oil on a daily basis? Let me read the question again, and let me see what do you think. Would human nature allow the people to step up to the plate and make a voluntary commitment to supply that oil on a daily basis? Anybody else thinks no? I mean, I love you and all that, but, you know, we heard the voice of God too, and we don't do it. We already read what he had to say, and we don't do it. When it comes to every day, doing things every day, I'm busy today. I was going to quote a scripture, but I won't because somebody will take it out of context. So where's everybody? Some people here, not here. Marilyn's listening, taking care of the ox in the field, right? I'm not calling her mom an ox, okay? But I'm pretty sure she's not listening. She's taking care of something that needs to be taken care of, but she's listening. Where's everybody else? Why don't people come every week? Why don't we do what we're supposed to do? Did somehow the Lord say that you are to keep Shabbat when you feel like it? That you are to keep Shabbat 50 out of 52 days a year? That you are to come to see the Lord If you got time? The obviously, the body of Messiah does not fulfill their commitments. That's a hard indictment, but let's just be honest here. I'm not excluding us out. Kehillah calls them high. It's not, Kehillah calls them high is at the front of this mess. We the leaders. And we the leaders often. Well, deep subject. Well, I haven't seen my, 15th of the 17th of the 19th cousin. You're wondered, but we Puerto Ricans understand. We may have just gazillion cousins. Never seen them. But they're coming, and so, Sam, you got it, buddy. By yourself. And that's our attitude. We can easily exchange something for the Lord, about the Lord, for whatever happens to be the situation. We do a situation analysis. And I must say that I'm not guilty. No, Lord, don't send the lightning. Oh, I'm guilty too. I have a history in the past of the Gators are playing Alabama at 1 o'clock on Saturday. I think we're going to beat them. You know, and dash out the door on the Lord's Shabbat. This is before the current coach. You could beat him every once in a while then. With the current coach, ain't no way. He just doesn't lose. Okay, so now it's different. We play Alabama. I ain't watching it. I'm not interested in no slaughter. I don't want to see pieces of gator being roasted everywhere and stuff like that. How things change. Let me just say it is human nature when it comes to something that is required all the time to not be ready to fulfill it all the time. So if we make it voluntary, so if the Lord had made Shabbat voluntary, I would be in big trouble. Because as it is, please don't get mad at me. I'm just reporting the news, okay? I'm no longer a CNN correspondent. I'm alternative news correspondent, natural news correspondent. The natural news correspondent said that when it got to be 10 o'clock for the last 5 weeks, there was less than 8 people here. And so I'm so encouraged by the amazing 8 that, you know, sometimes I have to speak and then start seeing people come in. They must all be Puerto Ricans. They must all be Latins, because you tell a Latin person it's 2 o'clock and at 5 o'clock they still think it's 2 o'clock. It certainly can't be Americans, because you're supposed to tell Americans that it's 2 o'clock and at 2 o'clock they'll be there. It certainly is not people who serve in the military, because if you serve in the military and they told you to be there at 7, you got there at 7:15. No, not so. Not so. Say, well, you're exaggerating. I'm given to exaggeration, okay? So it is in my DNA. Since the first of the year, I mean, 2 times, for the fun of it, I counted how many when we, time to start. The magnificent 8 were here. Thank God that by the time that I'm preaching, the 8 has multiplied. And Jackie's prayer that we in multiplication has happened. It's at least times 3 now. Jackie, maybe it'll get times 4, times 5. Imagine that. 8 times 5, 40 people. Wow. Do we have 40 people in our roles? We actually have like 70. But you're not in the role. So why are you preaching that hard? Because we got to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, okay? I'm not upset. After 30 years, you just don't get upset anymore. I'm just telling what it is. We have almost as many visitors as we have people who are part of our congregation today. I think that's wonderful. I hope you visitors don't pick up the bad habits of the congregants and decide to start coming in at 10:15 or 10:30 or 11:45. I mean, that's happened in the last 6 months. A whole bunch of people came in at 12:10. But since I was preaching until 12:30, they got 20 minutes. Okay? Can we change that? You see, our nature is falls apart when it comes to daily kinds of commitment. We're not so great at the daily prayer thing. We're not so great at the daily reading of the Bible thing. We're not so great at the getting up early in the morning thing. We're not so great at a lot of the everyday kind of things. We're not. We're really good at the occasional one. Get all excited about Purim. It's once a year. Hallelujah. So we don't have to do it, but once a year. So we get excited about it. Shabbat's once a week. Well, that's not every day. But now, the menorah that was built with the goal that was given by compelling hearts last week, this menorah is not just a random menorah. It's a special menorah. It was a revelation. The Lord told Moses, build it exactly according to the pattern that I showed you on the mount. The pattern that he saw on the mount was a pattern of the throne. Moses was looking at the Lord in his throne, in his abode. And he took note of the things that he saw. And the Lord said, build them. So God has a special purpose for this menorah. Last year in 20 February of 21, last year, I quoted from 9 February of 20. In the message about the menorah, I don't want to repeat it. I want to tell you a few things. The menorah is the one and only truly biblical symbol of government, revelation, the nation, and the Messiah. Moses did not design it. Adonai himself revealed it to him in Mount Sinai. Notice that this was part of Adonai's heavenly pattern, a representation of how things are arranged around his throne. Therefore, it is not surprising that the patterns of the menorah show up in everything Yeshua does. Evidently, Yeshua is enamored with menorahs. Even more so, his dad really likes them. Like Mikey. He really likes them. So when he sent the Messiah post-resurrection, right? He sent it back to John the Revelator. He picked the staging. And John the Revelator saw him and went, wow, he's dressed like a gator. No? Maybe he's dressed like a Seminole. God forbid. He's dressed in crimson tide. Crimson red, you know, his blood and everything. No. So what did he show up as? In a white robe. And what was the staging? Like these things? Oh no, there were 7 menorot. 7 of these guys. All around. And John the Revelator said, I fell on the ground like dead because there's the Lord. And he came and put his hand upon me and said, no, get up. And John the Revelator, like every prophet I know, starts asking the Lord, what's this staging all about? Like, you know, like Zechariah. What seest thou, Zechariah? Oh, I see a menorah. And I see 2 olive trees. What is that? And they're emptying their oil. And what is that? The angel said, Zechariah. Don't you know? And he was wise. He said, Lord, thou knowest. He didn't even give a guess. Lord, thou knowest. Well, what is it, thou knowest? The angel said, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, the builder of the temple, the last real heir to the throne of David. Hear what I'm saying. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. To which Zechariah went, wow, probably. But he didn't say anything about, he said, well, this is the word of the Lord, not by might, not by power. Okay, got that. And he's still like, what are those trees? So he waits his turn. And when it's his turn to speak, he says, what are the trees? Why are the two olive trees? And I already said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, okay? So these are the two witnesses that stand before the Lord throughout the entire world, the whole earth, in whole time. The trees are the witness. And more was said. Are you excited now? You want to go read the book of Zechariah? What else did he say? I ain't telling you. I got a secret. I'm not telling you nothing. Go find out. The pattern that is in the menorah will be evident in all of Adonai's affairs with his people forever. From Exodus 25 all the way to Revelation. This will be a pattern for business used by the Messiah himself. Because the menorah represents the Messiah, his work, his body, and his kingdom. Much more than a fish. Much more than a scroll. Much more than an execution tree. The menorah is the eternal revelation of Messiah Yeshua. Therefore, just in passing, you can read it. How many apostles? Why 12? Why 12? What could it have been, 11, 13, 20? Why 12? Because the base of the menorah has 12 facets. The base of the menorah has 12 facets. The foundation of the menorah is 12. And Paul said that the foundation of for us, we are founded on prophets. On a foundation of just prophet? Oh no. We're founded on the foundation of apostles. How many apostles were there? Random. How many lights are there? Why not 8? Why not 9? Why not 6? Why not 3? Why 7? Because God has 7 spirits that go around with him. You heard about the 7 spirits of God? Have you heard of the eyes of the Lord that run to and fro throughout the whole earth looking for someone who is willing and ready to do for him? Well, the Bible actually says 7 eyes and 7 spirits. The spirits of God are 7. Why 7? It means completion. Why 7? It means perfection. Why 7? It's almost the number for Shabbat. Shabbat is the 7th day. Hello? The menorah is telling us with the light, 7. Shiva, 7. Shabbat, Shiva. Telling us 7 all the time. Really? Okay, what else is in the menorah? There's a bowl and an up and a flower. And a bowl and up and a flower. And a bowl and up and a flower. And a bowl and up and a flower. Under each one of the branches. And then there's a bowl and up and a flower 4 times in the central shaft. And you add that up. Okay, and that comes out to be 66. The number of books in the Bible. Coincidence. But it didn't stop there. It said, oh, and put another knob under each of the next six branches. 66 plus 6 makes. How many prophets did Moses spoke to? 70 plus 2. How many people were sent in Luke 10? Yeshua sent his 12 at one time. And then he said another 72. Why not 67? Why not 100? Why did he insist on 12, 72, and 7 the entire time? What was the first thing the apostles had to do when one of the apostles killed himself? What's the first thing? Come on, the first dadgum thing in the book of Acts. They elect the 12th one. Why?
It kind of lopsided if you, you know, it's like tables in most restaurants. You put your hand on it and go.
Right? So you got to have the 12 foundations or it'll be lopsided. So the first thing they did is re-elect, find the 12th, the replacement.
No. No.
Okay, all of that sounds really good. It's about Messiah. That's what I preached about last year. I don't want to preach about that today. I want to preach about the fact that John the Revelator asked Yeshua, what about this menorah? And what did Yeshua said? This is a message to each of the seven congregations. Seven? What? Seven congregations in Asia Minor. Okay? I'm going to reveal to you the message of those menorahs that correspond to each one of those congregations. This is not me saying, this is the Lord speaking. What does that mean? That they were, each one were a congregation that was a menorah. You know what? What? Don't you know what? What? Kol Simcha is a menorah. Kol Simcha is a menorah congregation. We're supposed to be the light unto the world. The light unto the world that we're showing is Messiah. Everything that we do is about the Messiah and about the seven, the 72, the 12, and the single one. The one in the middle, the anointed branch. Everything we do, we're a menorah. Okay, so here's how it's been going up to now. This is what the Lord dealt with me the other day. It took you so long to get there. Well, I'm trying to get you excited. Either that or get your tomatoes. Get your rotten tomatoes. Okay? We're the menorah. How long have we been lit?
Well, you only have one service a week. It's your fault. Guilty as charged.
Maybe the 8 plus the overflow did it once a week. What about the rest of us? Here's the deal. The Lord knows the nature. He knows the nature of his children. He created them. And when he came to providing the oil that's going to keep the menorah lit 24/7, it was not a matter of if you want to. No. No, it's not if you want to. You see, once we become a menorah congregation, now, you can debate with me whether we are or not. I say we are. By faith. What kind of faith? Smaller than a mustard seed. I'm trying to get it to a mustard seed size, and then I can start moving mountains. Okay? Guess what? You have been bought. You are a golden vessel, each and every one of you. The oil is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is available 24/7 to keep your candle. But you don't, I just the candle. And Yeshua said, well, don't put the candle under the bushel. Stick it on a menorah. Get seven of you together. You got a big old menorah. And you can draw lots as to who is in the center. We're a menorah. We're a menorah congregation. How often are we supposed to be lit? 24/7. You got it. My coffee cup says it's a Hanukkah, right? It was sent as a gift. A coffee cup. Hanukkah. You know what it says? Let's get lit. I started to bring it to show it to you. Let's get lit. I'm getting lit with coffee. Well, let's get lit with the Holy Spirit. Let's start being the menorah we're supposed to be, because we need to be the menorah we're supposed to be, because the revival's already started in our state. Huh? We in Kol Simcha are by faith one of those menorahs. We are one of those that John the Revelator spoke about in our time. We weren't there, we're here. Adonai has commanded us to be lit with the Holy Spirit oil continually. Did it say continually? Yeah. Cause the lamp to burn continually. That word is in there. Okay, you said it. Continually, so that we can keep this forever. Who's going to do it? As much as I want to inspire you, I'll inspire you with jokes. I'll inspire you with screaming. I'll inspire you with throwing paper. I'll inspire you with whatever, just so that you're awake and can hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. As much as that's the case, I ain't got enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not fun enough. As a matter of fact, if I get too funny, I get in trouble every time. I get too funny and start saying any kind of a joke whatsoever, I will have the kangaroo court afterwards. I'm the only one that gets that. There are other husbands doing this. Okay, we husbands, we get excited and we say, and then kangaroo court comes. In my case, was three judges. Maryland judge, Amelie's judge, and Ian judge. And then they added the cat judge and the dog judge. So there were five of them. You know, and I would hear that it just isn't appropriate for you to use that word in the pulpit. Are you some kind of an idiot? What do you do for a living? I clean bathrooms. No. What do you do for a living? I teach at the University of Florida. Oh, you a professor? Yeah. What kind of professor? A robotics professor. Is that word used in robotics? To which I would have to say, speak, Your Honor. Your servant hearest. Speak thou, and I will eventually get it. I'm 72. I have the number of the menorah now. I'm starting to get it. Why did it take so long? maceta. That's why it took so long. We are supposed to be the light of the world. From morning to evening. From evening to morning. On Mondays. On Tuesdays. On Shabbat. On Shabbat. On Shabbat. Well, what did you do from 6:15 last night until 10:15 this morning when some of you came? What have you been doing? Been lighting things up? Been creating forest fires? Remember, only you can create the fire of the Lord and bring it down. You have the power to do so. I'm trying to tell you, we've got to get into the everyday business. And we need pure oil every day. And the Lord supplying that oil through His Holy Spirit. So you can be lit. Imagine that. Somebody running into you and saying, "You're all lit up." And you say, "Absolutely." Can I tell you? I want us together to develop a burning heart for Adonai. We talked about that last week. We needed a compelling heart. But this week, I'm going to add another word. Burning. How appropriate that when I came in here, the song that was being played by Sam and John was Fire by Wilbur. Fire. Burning fire. I walked to the front here, sat down and said, "Ditto, I'm ready." So I preach a little longer today, 41 minutes. I think that we have to burn longer and better so that we can fulfill our call for this season. I know we will. Shabbat shalom.